Welcome.
Good morning.
Steve is still in, on a missions trip in Hawaii. He's on a mission to kick back. I've got things from Facebook, man. He's got both of his feet sticking up in the air. And I just got the last video was he's got some kind of a scuba mask thing on or some kind of paper bag over his head with an air hose in it or something. What was it?
Scuba diving.
Scuba? I don't know what that is. He's underwater and he's got a hose hooked in his mouth, you know. And I'm going, man, what the? I didn't even know the guy knew how to swim. Anyway, so they're gone for a couple weeks. So he asked me to fill in and share the word of God with you this morning. So I think we better open with a word of prayer, or continue in a word of prayer. Be careful, Bobby. Father, I thank you this morning for what you're doing in this place, the excitement that's happening with our youth program and the kids that are just on fire right now. God, you're changing lives, and you're using everyday ordinary people to do that. So I just ask this morning that you would give me words to speak, that we would have ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that are open to hear from you this morning. Help me to communicate well and in a timely fashion. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's going on the video. I mean, that's going on the audio, so Steve will listen to it at some point. So there you go, Steve. Well, anyway, good morning. If you open your Bible or your iPad or your whatever you got to iPhone, you know, not your iPod, that won't work, but it will. iPod? An iPod you can look at a Bible? No, that's for listening to music. Anyway, chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. I'm going to open with this, huh? Don't Google it. Not right. Not in the middle of my sermon, okay? Anyway, it says this: do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I had a different sermon that was starting to stir in me a few weeks ago when I knew I was going to be speaking. And as I began to prepare, this kind of jumped out at me, so I switched gears a little bit. But the verse that stood out for me was, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. another word for treasure really could be idols. And I'm just going to be upfront and straightforward with you. I'm going to share some of my testimony as well. But, you know, what are your treasures? What's he talking about here? What are your treasures, you know? What are your treasure idols? I wrote down a few just for my own thinking. And, you know, it could be, a nice car, you know, your family, your job. Some people are in their idol or their treasures are in their work, or who they are, their self-esteem lies in that. The pursuit of happiness. All of us, you know, don't worry, be happy. They have all those songs and stuff, you know, happy. How's the new one go? No, don't sing. It's okay. The happy song, you know, it's all. If you're going to sing, baby, you got to use the mic. Stay with me. Yeah, I know. Anyway, pursuit of happiness. I'm just looking at things that we call treasures, that we look at as treasures in our own life. Sports, the gym, working out at the body, you're working on your body, as you can tell, that's not my treasure, or my idol. Steve might have a little different take on it, but it's not mine. Our stuff, the things that we hang on to, and I was thinking, as I was thinking through this, I watched some of those Learning Channel reality TV hoarder shows and stuff like that. It keeps me in check. It's like, am I getting too much stuff? Let me just watch this movie here and watch these people. And my wife, don't shake your head, yes. I've already been cleaning stuff out. You know that. But those are things. Now, let me clarify this. Let me just clarify this for a minute. There's nothing wrong with things. That's not the issue. Is it our idol? Do we own our stuff or does our stuff own us? You know, and Jesus, let's just say, humor me and just believe that maybe that the Word of God is true, in the words of a great Hispanic prophet, Orlando Sabe, agree or disagree. That's his famous word. He said that a lot yesterday. Good job, dude. you know, is the Word of God true or is it not, you know? And as we read it, as we understand, as we begin to search God out and find out what He says, we have to somehow take these words and say, Lord, are You speaking to me on this? Is there life in this? What is this all? You know, we get to digest it and ask ourselves. So anyway, Matthew 6, like I said, verse 21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so I have to stop and I have to look at my own life and look at where I've come in my past and I go, well, what kind of stuff do I treasure, hang on to? You know, what is it in my life that is there stuff, first off? Am I asking the question? Am I saying, God, you know, just having that conversation with the Lord to do some self-examination is critical, you know. Here's a thought that I wrote down. It says, whatever you value in life gets the majority of your time. Money, thoughts, it controls you. And if you're not really sure, if you may be in a little, well, gee, I don't think I have anything, ask your spouse. They will tell you the truth. You know, and I mean, just stop and think about it. What are the things that I talk about? What comes out of my mouth more than anything, you know? And I'm going to, don't worry, I'm not leaving. There's no guilt and condemnation here. I'm gonna straighten this out in a second, hopefully. But I had to ask myself those questions. You know, all right, Lord, you know, You've blessed me in a lot of ways, and it's a kind of a fine line sometimes between God's blessings and provision, and are we making it our God? You know, is it something that again, that controls my life? And so, if you'll turn with me also to Luke, chapter 6, verse 45. My iPad's doing funny things. Never get rid of your paper Bible because you might need it. It says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So when you stop, and again, I'm just reading God's Word. I didn't write it, so don't send me any hate mail or anything. This is what I, you know, God's speaking to me. It's like, okay, well, what do I speak about more? Do I talk about the weather? Do I talk about my boat that I've been rebuilding? I mean, and again, all that stuff is fine, but what is it that controls my life? That's really what the emphasis is on. And I wrote this, so just listen to what comes out of your mouth. You speak about what's important to you. Look at what occupies most of your time. Matthew 6:24 says you cannot serve two masters, God and money. You know, you can't serve them both because you're going to love one and hate the other or have allegiance to one and such. So, you know, again, God gives us His Word to protect us and to guide us. I mean, gosh, I've just been reading through the Old Testament. Anybody read through the Bible in a year? Have you done any of that stuff? You don't have to raise your hand if you haven't, because I didn't for until this year. So I'm just being transparent, you know. I read different things, but I've never started and gone all the way through. Well, I'm in Judges right now, and man, I tell you what, every other chapter, these bonehead Israelites, brain dead, whatever they are, they love God, everything's good. The next chapter, another new guy takes over, they walk away from God, and they serve idols, and all this kind of bad stuff, all hell breaks loose in their life, you know. And it's a back and forth thing. We're not really a whole lot different at times, if you think about it. The advantage is, though, today the Holy Spirit lives within us and leads us and guides us and directs us, and where they didn't have that at that moment. But anyway, you can't serve two masters, God and money. I'm going to be a little transparent and share a little bit of my story. In 1978, Ventura, California, I gave my life to Christ. You know, Terry and I, we had met, we were going out, and actually before that, let me back up. In 1976, I got a job working with the offshore oil company, you know, and working for Global Marine Drilling offshore off of Santa Barbara. And my dad, you know, we just went through that stepping up. Some of the guys here went through that stepping up, and they're asking you who was your mentors and this and that. And I was trying to think through, And there's certain things that you got from different people in your life. Well, my dad, although he didn't spend a lot of time with us because he was always working, he taught me work ethics, and he would always, you know, this is one of those things, don't do as I do as I say, you know. He said, son, save your money and invest in real estate, buy properties, and so on, you know. So I was a 20-year-old kid when I started with offshore. And I started putting, started sacking some money away. And anyway, in 1977, I bought 2 acres of land out here off of Branch Road when there were still, you know, not much was out there. A year later, I saved some more money and I bought a three-bedroom house over Lake Havasu in Arizona on the Colorado River. And I rented it out. I had a rental. Now, I'm just telling you my story. This may not apply to you guys, but this would apply to me. So I had all this going. I had a buddy of mine that I went to school with who was, his dad was in real estate. His dad was in, he had a lot of rentals and things. And so he was teaching me and my buddy Randy how to fix stuff, you know. And now I know if you guys don't have rentals, you may not understand. When renters move out, they usually tear stuff up. So we learned how to fix things, you know, put roofs on and, you know, fix drywall and such. Anyway, I was on this trek of taking and investing and buying properties and so on, and I was going in a direction of I was learning. I mean, I was just getting started. I had two properties, and I call it I was on a train. I was on a track. I was heading in that direction. That's where my focus was, you know. Well, in 78, I met Terry, and God got a hold of my life, stopped me dead in my tracks. Kind of like Paul, when Paul was on the road, you know, he met Jesus on the road, and the dude was changed in a second, nanosecond. Well, that's what happened with me. I heard about Jesus through my mother-in-law, through Terry, and I received Christ into my life. I was born again, if you like the terms. I was dead, and now I'm not. I was alive. You know what I mean, B? And you know, something happened, and God, I had a close encounter with the God kind, as they say, you know. And Jesus became my Lord. Well, at that moment, I was looking. Three months after that, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Which, and if you know me in any for any length of time, the Holy Spirit. I talk a lot about the Spirit of God, the gifts of the Spirit, and the power that comes with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because that's what I link together. When my life was energized, I mean, I was transferred out of the kingdom of darkness when I received Christ, and when they laid hands on me and the power of God came on me, and then it was on, baby. I mean, it was full speed ahead, and I was shaken to my core. I thought, here's a God that can take an ordinary dirtball like me, fill me with His gifts, and He can, I mean, some of them, He could give you insight into somebody's life. Now this isn't. I'm not talking about mind reading and all that. I'm saying the power of the gifts of the Spirit. When you encounter somebody or circumstance, all of a sudden, God speaks to you or nudges you to say, you know, somebody might have come for prayer. They might need healing or something. You know, I don't feel well. You go pray with them, and you step up and you lay hands on. You begin to pray, and you just don't open your mouth and babble as the Scripture says. You shut up and listen for a minute and learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, ask him how his relationship is with his father. Because that's the real root of the issue. Not that he's sick. He's sick because of stress and everything else. But the root of it is this. There's unconfessed things. Whatever happens. When I found out that I could be actively involved in that, that God would use me in that arena some way, some form or fashion, I said, man, when they told me that, I go, if this is the real deal, I want it. I mean, it's either that or it's just really strange and these people are out to lunch, you know. But, I mean, but I thought, wow, this is great. So, you know what I mean, Natalie? Okay. God speaks to you and he says, do something or go here, or go there. And he gives you words of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith. You know, pray for people and see miracles happen. And people, guys bent over and he couldn't even hardly stand up and walk. And I laid hands on this guy on the oil rig. We had a little meeting one day and God instantly healed him, and he stood up on his feet, and the guy went about his day. You know, I'm going, I want to be part of that, you know. So, anyway, I had property. Where was I? I was in Lake Havasu. I had property, different things, and when God got a hold of my life, I said, Lord, I lay it all down. For me, I had to do that for a time, because you have to understand, I was going down a road, and my pursuit was, and it's not a bad thing. These things are not bad, but for me, at my in my life, God had to take me off of that train for a bit. I've since have revisited that, but in the meantime, for a time, for a number of years, God had to get. I said, here's my life. You got my whole attention. You got my money. You got my wife, my kids, my car, my stuff. I mean, if you want me to give this stuff away, man, just tell me, just show me where. Man, I would have given it away, you know. At least I said it would. You know, you never know until you're... But I was at that point. I said, God, I'm just hungry for you. You know, there was a hunger that was created. And I was changed. So, you know, I left the oil rig. Let's see, where was I? Feel free to help me out, babe. Okay, it's my right hand. Oh, am I lying? Oh, that's not good. Okay. This is... What's that? Thank you very much. It's a good year. When I met my wife and got married in 79. Is that on, Natalie? Just leave it turned on. She'll turn it on off here.
No, but one of the things that that happened with Gary is that, you know, his whole goal was this whole real estate thing when we first got married, and God totally took that desire away from him, and we sold the Havasu house, and we ended up paying off the pastor. I mean, God had his hand in his life way early. But once he became a Christian, it had always been my focus because I was a Christian since I was a teenager. But God was like the hub of our will. We weren't the hub and adding God and other things to our life. He was the hub, and every time we made a decision, we went to him. Are we supposed to move to Lemoore? We prayed about it. Yeah, go there. Are we supposed to move back to Ventura? Yes, God. Okay, we're going. I remember one time when we lived in Lemoore, we were out of God's will. And we sought him. We thought, God, what are we supposed to do? And so we would lay on the floor prostrate before God, asking him, where do you want us to go next? What's our next step? And that's kind of been our focus all our lives since we've been married, is God is the hub of our wheel, and everything that we go back to him all for all things in our life. So
thank you. Everything that I did when I was offshore... I was offshore for 8 years. I quit in 1984. We moved to Paso right about that time. I was here for a short time, and then I went ahead and got my contractor's license. I grew up in the carpet business with my dad and my brothers, and so my brother says, "Well, if you want to stay busy, you're going to have to get your contractor's license, because they're cracking down. You know, if you're not licensed, they won't. You know, it's getting harder to get work." So I did, and see, I was self-employed, but I stayed that way so I could schedule, you know, I mean, I was leading worship here. I've been leading worship here for 30 years. I was looking at the other day, I go, oh, my gosh, in 1980, yeah, I started playing in 87, but we've been at this church for since 84. Do the math. A long time. More than 10 years. And anyway, so I thought, you know, everything that I want, I wanted to have the flexibility and the time to schedule around, you know, leading worship, church. We're involved in a lot of areas of ministry in here, and we would go. We were the worship band that would go out and play all over the place. Where, hey, you need a worship leader over at Full Gospel Businessman. You know, Fred was involved in that back then. So we would take our team back then. We would do outreach stuff down in Pismo Beach at the Clam Festival, and we're just all kinds of stuff. But I stayed flexible enough that I could have that time. Okay, then anyway, time went on, and I got a job. Let's see. No, I know what it was. We opened up a sandwich shop. Anybody ever been to Gary's Original Sandwich? Yeah, not bad, huh? Good stuff. Yes, right down the street from. Anyways, Atascadero. We had it for a year, and that took my house. Cost me my home. God bless the business of food service. Anyway. Sorry. Yeah. But that's okay. You know, that's okay. It was all part of my journey. It was all part of God taking my life and preparing me for where I am today. Because here's the deal. Had I not been there, I would be looking back, well, man, we should have opened up a sandwich shop, babe. We should have done that. Now, I don't have to say that. I was there. I bought the T-shirt and everything. You had a T-shirt, I think, one time. Kim was in my sandwich shop, man, before I ever even knew him. The dude came in. He said, anyway, hey, somebody brought me a shirt here a while back. Said, hey, look what I found over at the thrift store down at Tascadero. Hey, man, that's a collector's item. I hope you didn't pay much more than 50 cents for that. Anyway, what I'm saying, oh, Andy was, huh? I know, that's right. Andy had his practice right down the street when he came, and gosh, I don't know. Huh? No, dude, we didn't do bologna. All right, stay back, get in, squirrel. Anyway, get back here. Yeah, squirrel, we all got them. I'm glad I'm not the only one that gets those things, you know. What's the point? The point is that I wanted to stay flexible so I could, our heart was sold out for what God had for our lives. Now, God's in business. God is in the stove and spa shop. He's at, in a chiropractic business, whatever, construction. But for me, for where we were at that point, I wanted to have the freedom to be able to go where he sent me and this and that and everything else. We closed the sandwich shop, and that was a miracle in itself. Well, let me just tell you briefly, God opened the door for us. You know, we always talked about it. So if we were going to do a business, we'd do a sandwich shop because there's little overhead, little waste, hopefully, and, hopefully money. And so we had good time and everything. And so the place opened up, and we go, we're either going to do this or quit talking about it. I remember that came up. She said, what are we waiting for? I said, there's a chance we could make this, and there's a chance we could lose everything. My wife said, well, huh?
It's all good.
She said, well, what are we waiting for? So we went and we lost it all. But anyway, that's not the moral of the story there. Learning experience. God was taking us to a place and hammering out things in our life, you know. Where's your treasures? Let's go back to that. What do you treasure? Well, we wanted God. We were sold out for him, you know. We had business. We did that. And the day we went in, a year later, at the end, almost a year to the day, we went in and we knew we weren't going to continue. We couldn't continue. We're, robbing Peter to pay Paul and Mary or whatever that was. And so we just knew that the girl, I couldn't get the girls to take on the business, sorry. And so we just had to close the doors and sell that out, sell the equipment. So I went in on a Tuesday morning. Terry and I went to work. And we told the gals that, hey, we're going to have to, sell the place. Everyone was bummed out, including me. She says, why don't you go home early? I said, okay. Well, backing up 2 years, I took the test for the boys' school for the cook's position out there and got on the list. And back then, it was really tough. It was kind of a long process to get on at the boys' school. And, I just forgotten about it and almost didn't fill the papers out to stay on. I went home that day. And why we had left that morning, the boys' school called, Mrs. Griffin called. She says, hey, we got a job for you. We want you to get a physical, come to work right away. Okay, well, in 1991, that's when we had the sandwich shop. Construction was dead. So I still had my contractor's license. So I go, well, we're going to close the business. I'll have to go back and do some carpet and stuff. But there was like three crews standing in line for one job and that whole thing. And so I was concerned, but I wasn't in despair. There's a difference, I didn't have my head stuck in the sand, forget about my bills, but I said, okay, God, again, here we're going, well, what do? We went to work. The boys' school called that day. I come home. I told my wife. I was blown away. And then I thought, oh, no, I don't want to work out there. I rode around with security 2 years prior and saw, they're patting these kids down. And I said, oh, look, I've already been offshore and in construction. How much worse can it get? The prison system. So, right, Bruce? Bruce worked out there. So I go, and Jory was out there with me. And anyway, so, but I said, okay, God, again, I'm sold out. I want what you have. So we went out there. I've told some of you the story before. I got out there, and that first year out there was hell because God put me in a place where I had to be confrontive, and I don't like confrontation. It's not my. I've learned to do it because God put me in a place that made you do it, or these guys would chew you up and spit you out, But anyway, all that being said, I went out to the boys' school, and then I realized, I said, okay, I could start as an intermittent. Again, I'm setting it up to our thinking process, okay? I could start as an intermittent and get enough hours to get my benefits, and still schedule off on Sundays because I was involved in the music here and different ministries and things. And that's what I did for a number of years until it finally it came time that I looked around. I go, well, the only job that's out here that's off on weekends is the bakery job. And I knew the baker, and I had baking experience. So I just kind of spoke that out to the leadership, my supervisors. Next thing I know, the baker's taken off. He had gone out on a medical, and I got the job. Well, I was off on weekends now, you know. And so anyway, all that being said, that was part of my story to say that everything that we've done, our treasure, our heart is to be sold out. Say, God, what do you want from us? And one thing Terry mentioned earlier I didn't say was I'm asking those questions. Do we ask those questions? God, what do you want from me? Or do we just go about our day and just do whatever we do and just just go about and just whatever happens. You know, I don't, some of you guys will remember, Bruce, you probably remember the old Real cream commercial, a little dabble, do you? You know, you don't know what that is, dude. No, you don't know. You don't know what that is. You're too young. Anyway, the commercials were, you know, do you add just a little bit of God to your life? You know, a little dabble, do you? Or do you want, are you want all in, you know? One of the questions I put up here, what holds us back from doing God's will? What holds us from, you know, letting Him have our lives? You know, one, maybe we don't know, or maybe it's just, you know, like the gal was saying earlier, she would go to church and she would come and go, but then something happened. She had a personal encounter with God up at Hume Lake. You know, have you had those personal encounters? Do you know Him intimately? You know? Go to Matthew 19, verse 16. I want to read this story. About the rich young ruler. Come on. It's time for a new iPad. We're going to be taking another offering here in a minute. No, just kidding. Come on, man. Quit turning it off. It says, quickly, just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me what is good? Jesus replied, there's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which one? He inquired. Jesus replied, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus said to His disciples, truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now first off, let me say this isn't about riches. This is not about having stuff. The whole attitude was, is the man had things. He had some kind of a form of religion. He knew the rules. He was following the commandments. And Jesus discerned his heart and says, okay, because you have great wealth, now go sell all that, give to the poor, and come follow me. And he couldn't do it. You know, what are some of the things in our life that God asked us to... Now, who knows what would have happened if he did? He may have got it back tenfold. You know, the Scripture talks about that kind of thing. Or he may not. He may have just lived his days out with peace and contentment in the will of God, with 20 bucks in his pocket or whatever, denarii or whatever they had at that time. I don't know. We're not told that. That didn't happen. But what we are told is that he had an issue. He had a treasure. It was wealth. And he couldn't put it aside. And, you know, some of the things that... my heart is to challenge us, myself included, to think, to ask the questions, God... Here I am. Are you willing to lay it all down, give it to Him? You know, and what are the things that would hold us from going to that place? What are the things that would keep us from selling out? I wrote a few of them down. You know, obviously the guy had great wealth, his treasure, he couldn't let go. He followed the rules, but his heart was in his possessions. And then I already told you, I jumped ahead of my notes, but the little dab will do you, you know. People have just added a little God to their life, you know. I mean, you know, some countries, man, if you call yourself a Christian, you take the risk of getting beheaded. I mean, we've just seen that recently, you know. And I'm not a prophet of doom, and I'm not a down and outer, but I mean, we've always asked that question. You know, if they were come up to you today and put you in, accuse you of being a Christian, take you to jail, would they have enough evidence to prove it? Heard that before. You know, where am I? What kind of depth of relationship do I have with my God? Do I just know, you know, I've added a little bit, I come to church, I do my thing. Do I have a depth of understanding of who he is? And I guarantee when Paul met Christ on the road that day, his life was transformed. This girl had an encounter, a human like this, when they went up to camp. Now, we have to feed that. We have to walk in that. We have to understand who God is. We have to digest the Word of God. But as I said earlier, you know, one of the treasures, and I just wanted to go back to this because I got up in the middle of the night and wrote this down. One of our treasures, our gods, our idols, can be knowing things. It's really a pride issue. I know the Bible cover to cover. But do you know you may know Scripture, but the Pharisees, man, they knew it. But do you know the author? Do you have relationship? The Scripture you have to go to, that's the living Word of God. That'll feed you. That'll tell you who He is, and your life will be transformed by it. But just be careful. That's not an idol. You know, you know what I'm saying. The thing about you know, some of our universities and our schools pride themselves. America, we pride ourselves in knowledge. You know, we got to have answers, and And it can be a god in itself if it left unattended. So, and finally and we're going to get out of here by 11:00. Hear that,
Steve?
Anyway, sorry. Don't tell him I said that. Yeah, it's only going on the recording. Fear of the unknown. Fear of the unknown. You know, God's going to ask you to lay something down or give him your whole life. What's that going to look like? What's your life going to look like? Are you going to be, I mean, you know, it's a little scary. It just is. I remember, we'd had home groups when I first got saved at our house, you know, and we had this, we talked about this. I think we talked about this at our group the other night, Paul and I think I mentioned this, but we were at a home group we had, and you know, people, God was moving, we were praying for people and doing different things, but we'd come to the home group, and the leader of the group at this point in our life, in our ministry early on, we prayed for a lot of deliverance and healings, and just, you know, teaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the end times and all that kind of stuff. So we're going, oh, cool, we got a couple of people that need ministry tonight. You know, new people would come and such. And so we're getting ready to start, and we're getting ready to minister to people. And Bud, my mentor, he says, okay, he says, I'm going to pray for the first guy. You're going to pray for the next one. You know, and I go, you know, I just said, I about seized up. I go, no, I want to watch you do it. I don't want to do that, you know. I want to watch you do all this stuff. God's called us all to step up. God put me in that group. He put Bud in my life to take me from the passenger seat and put me in the driver's seat, to mentor me, to help me step into leadership. So, you know, the guy prays for the first guy, and then I'm up, you know. And he said, don't worry, I'm going to back you up, you know. And he was there right coming alongside. And you know, we're praying for – back then, you know, when we would pray for people that had issues, man, we had all kinds of crazy stuff go down. It just was. I don't know, man. We had people – screaming and hollering and throwing themselves on the floor and breaking my chairs up. It's like, oh my gosh, you know. Yahoo. Welcome to Ministry 101, you know. And I really want to do this? Yes, I did. I said, God, it's scary. It's awkward. It's new territory for me. If God's calling you today to some new form of stepping out, We have a choice. He's not gonna hogtie and drag you along. We have to say, yes, Lord, use me. Will you use me? Fear of the unknown is huge. But, again, according to my amigo prophet friend Orlando, do you believe the Word of God is true or not? Believe or disbelieve? Agree or disagree? Is that what he said? It is true. God will never leave you, forsake you. He's going to finish the work that He started in your life. Will you trust Him? Will you let Him have your life? That's really what He's asking this morning. And then finally, the solution to all this is Matthew 6, verse 33. It says, seek first His kingdom and all His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first His kingdom. What does that look like? What does it mean to seek God, to seek the kingdom of God? You know, Steve's been teaching on the Lord's Prayer. You know, the kingdom of God. What is that? Is it a place? It will be. There's a place to call the kingdom of God. Is there the rule and reign in our lives? God's power and rule and reign here on earth as it is in heaven? Yes, it is. Is it? But we're told to seek first His kingdom. First. Not, it's just like with we talk about tithing, you know, not giving them our dregs, our leftovers, whatever. Oh, I've paid all my bills. Here's $20. And, you know, tithing is not about money. It's about our heart attitude, by the way. It's about us surrendering our life to Him and trusting in Him, really. If you really stop and think about it, I remember when we were challenged on that, you know. I wasn't always a big, you know, I wasn't the guy that said, here's my 10%, or whatever. It was, to me, it was a rule, a legalistic thing, and I didn't want any part of that because our group when I came up earlier, we were kind of anti the denomination and all the legalistic stuff. They just threw it all in one basket. But one day when I came to a place and God says, I heard Steve say, you know, God's about building you into building your character and making you more like Him and drawing you into His presence and helping you to surrender that He becomes first in your life. Do I seek Him first? He says, He doesn't have your pocketbook. He doesn't have every part of you. You know, because I just told you some of my testimony. We were involved in every area of ministry here. And I said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And then I said, well, I don't. And I didn't mean to go here. This was just kind of coming out. But it's like, I'm not giving you. Well, no, that's my money. I work for that. Yeah? Did not God provide everything that we have? I mean, and it's not a legal thing, legalistic. It's a knowing your God and knowing who you are in Him and trusting in Him. It's a trust issue. It's a letting go and say, God, here we go. You know, and when I heard that, I said, He doesn't have my pocketbook first thing. He doesn't have the very first of me. You know, He doesn't have my, you know, He's got other things. I would give my time in worship and painting stuff and doing things around here. But anyway, I have a little issue with that. And it wasn't until just, you know, several years ago that got challenged and changed. And take the meat, leave the bone. That one's freebie, you know. I'm not trying to twist anybody's arm. I'm just telling you what God did in my life, okay? Seek first the kingdom. As you do that, if you honestly can come before God and say, Lord, here's my life. I want you first in my life. I don't know what that's going to look like, but here I am. We're going to close in a prayer in a minute, and if that's something that maybe you're not there, or maybe there's areas God has spoken to you and He's challenging you on, and you want to surrender that, you know, you can stand, you can sit, you can lift your hand. I don't care. You can just respond. My prayer is that God did speak to you and that He's taken you from where you are. He loves you enough. There's no guilt and condemnation, but He wants to take you closer into His presence. You cannot go into God's presence and come out the same. You cannot. You will not be the same. You will not look the same. When God got a hold of my life in 1978, I've been growing since then, but I was a different. It wasn't just, I got, like the girl was saying, I went to church on Sunday. I don't know why. I just did, you know. I mean, I was raised in a kind of Catholic. Well, we weren't even good Catholics, you know. We didn't even go. My parents wouldn't go. I had a little bit of something. I had some little bit of. But when God got a hold of my life, and He met me on the road and filled me with the Spirit, it's like, man, here we go. I'm on. So that's my prayer for you this morning. Let's close in prayer. If you want to stand, that would be great. If you want to lift your hands, if you want to sit quietly, you know, that's between you and Him. But I'm going to pray and ask God to grab your heart this morning. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for this church. I thank You for what You're doing in our lives. I thank You that You love us enough not to leave us alone. And in the next week or two, we're going to be talking about the cross and just what that is and the love of God that was poured out for us. Lord, help us to surrender it all to You. I know there's things going on dancing around in this room that the questions are great. And so I just ask that You come speak to Your people this morning. For those that need to repent, Lord, hear the cry of their heart this morning. They lift their hands as they bow their knee, as they bow their head. Come in this place and capture the hearts of Your people. And Lord, change us, shake us to the core, and fill us with Your passion, with Your love, with Your forgiveness. And that we would somehow let go of the things that bind us of this earth. And not that we don't have to give them all away. You're not calling everybody to sell everything and give to the poor. But You are calling us to surrender our hearts to You in 100% fullness. So Lord, hear the cries of our heart this morning as I lift this congregation to You again. Meet the needs of the people in here, in this room this morning. Father, thank You for this day.